You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 24th, 2021. Hear this, hear this. There's a job for VP Kamala Harris. President Joe Biden will have more sleeping time. He has decided to task the VP with overseeing efforts with Central American countries to stem the flow of migrants to the U.S. southern border. In other words, Biden is washing his hands of this issue. That's what he's after. He's saying it's all in her hands going forward. And in fact, one senior official stated, and I'm quoting, starting today, the Northern Triangle and Mexico will know there is one senior official dedicated to this effort. So Biden wasn't? But he's now, he's looking for a way out is what he's doing. He's being called the migrant president. Oh, we have all this crisis. Oh, I'm sorry, they don't call it a crisis at the border. But he's going to get out from under and say, talk to Kamala. It's her deal now. Oh, my God. Okay. And this is another big story. We're going to deal with this in more detail in the segment coming up after news and commentary. The White House press secretary says that Biden and his staff are considering several responses to deal with gun control. Her words. I'm quoting her words. We are considering a range of levers, including working through legislation, including executive action. Executive action. Biden has plans. If he can't get what he wants through the legislature, he would just, by executive action, ban certain weapons or have them confiscated from you. You don't want to miss the next segment. Also, of course, Harris and multiple aides to Biden had previously said they do support gun buybacks, which would force you to surrender certain types of firearms and you'd be given money. In other words, you have to turn it in. If you don't turn it in, then we will come and confiscate it anyway. And if you're caught with it, it'll be a violation. They have many plans for this. These gun buybacks are a failure. They always have been. And in fact, one of my listeners wrote a very good email on that point. I'm going to share that with you before we wrap up this hour. And, of course, all of this is being escalated because of the shooting in Colorado, a mass shooting, 10 deaths, including a veteran police officer. And they're going to use it again as another excuse for talk about gun control. It is not the gun. We don't need gun control. We need idiot control. And speaking of that point, this story, this part of the story I just saw, and I absolutely went ballistic. The guy that carries out the shootings, according to police, and you can call him a suspect, but he's the only guy in there that had a gun and was shooting. He's shouting out to police after 30 minutes of shooting, killing a police officer and the others. He's shouting out, "I surrender. I'm naked." That was a guy you saw being walked out just in his underwear. He wanted to show, "I have no weapons on me. Don't shoot me." What a coward in all ways. But then to shout out, "I'm naked. Don't shoot me." In Virginia, the governor is set to sign historic legislation that would end death penalty in Virginia. Virginia has put to death nearly 1,400 since its days as a colony. In modern times, Virginia is second only to Texas in the number of executions carried out. The Senate is clashing right now on Senate Bill 1, just like H.R. 1, the Senate version of a controversial elections bill. It will basically destroy your election integrity and give Democrats control for years and years to come. They found him. They found him, by the way. They had a major fire in a assisted living facility in New York Tuesday night. A firefighter missing. They found him. He was still inside trying to rescue and make sure the rooms were clear, and the roof collapsed. He got trapped. One resident did die in the fire. So if you think you're ready to go back to schools and the teachers will go along with it, the CDC has said repeatedly, you can go to school, the kids aren't the issue. And then they even said, and you can reduce the distancing guideline to kids to 3 feet. The American Federation of Teachers says, I don't believe that. Down to 3 feet, that doesn't sound right. So we're not interested in our teachers going to schools if it's down to 3 feet. Many of them really want to teach the teachers. They want to be back and do their job. But the union and union leadership say, no, we can push for more gimmies to hold out. The children are suffering? Yeah, no big deal. The teachers are on extended vacation. That's their plan.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Traveling in a fighter combi. On a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Every time there's a shooting, we play this ridiculous theater where this committee gets together and proposes a bunch of laws that would do nothing to stop these murders. What happens in this committee after every mass shooting is Democrats propose taking away guns from law-abiding citizens because that's their political objective. But what they propose, not only does it not reduce crime, it makes it worse.
The words of Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, and he's absolutely correct. Every time the Democrats rush out to politicize a tragedy, I hate to say it this way, but let's be specific and let's be candid about it. They don't even wait. They don't even wait until the bodies are prepared for funeral. They want to rush in and say, here's another example where we need to take control of the guns. They don't really believe in the Second Amendment. You'll get some of them say it. In fact, you will have some former members that served in our military who do support it, support Second Amendment, and they understand the value and the rights of it. Whether or not they're talking about a specific weapon, just the Second Amendment in general. But the leaning, the inside thought, the narrative among the Democrats is, get rid of the guns. Take them away from everyone. Oh, except the personnel protecting me. When you have a mass shooting start out, who do people call? They call the people with the guns, the police. And, of course, the first officer responding to that call yesterday was also cut down. And then that cowardly SO that was carrying out these shootings, mowing down people who had no defense at all, suddenly threw his weapon down when he was done and take off all of his clothes except his underwear and say, I surrender, I'm naked. I'm naked, I have no weapons. So he wouldn't be shot, although he had apparently suffered one shot in the leg. But all the left and all the celebrities come together and say, get rid of the guns. But you dare take a gun away that they're relying on their protection that may be handled by a security guard? Oh, no, no, no. I'm not talking about my guns. I'm talking your guns. And, of course, they want to go after the AR-15, claiming that's the deadly weapon. I'll remind you again, that AR-15 can sit on the desk all day long. It will not kill anyone if it's just sitting on the desk. Whoever picks it up and how they use it is the next issue. And we're getting more background information on the shooter yesterday. Apparently a relative said he had bought it maybe 7 days before, 6 days before the shooting. Bought it March 16. And then he was apparently playing around with it at the house, kind of waving it around, according to the woman who identified herself as a sister-in-law of the guy. Said he was playing around with a gun. It looked to her like a machine gun. She took it away from him. She's a sister-in-law, and so she went over and took this thing away from the 21-year-old. At that point, someone should have been in that household either taking it to police or calling police, saying, this guy should not be having it because he is not showing a responsible behavior with a gun. That's just being responsible, maybe accidentally killing someone, much less actually carrying out the crime he did. But no, they didn't do it. And according to the information we have been getting, he never should have been allowed to buy the gun. Now, they want to move forward and say, we need a new law. We need to take care of the Charleston loophole. That's where Dylan Roof and the Charleston shooting killing, and I never like to use a shooter's name, but I'm using it only in reference to this one, in Charleston, that he got his gun because after 3 days, there were no red flags from the FBI, so they had to sell the gun to him. So they want to extend this waiting period to maybe 10 days. On one hand, I'd say that's not an issue. That's okay. But then they won't stop at 10 days. They'll make it 20 days, 40 days, 100 days. And when it comes to the, quote, assault weapon, they're talking about basically a rifle that just been cosmetically looks bad. And, of course, Biden got in on that point yesterday. He also stepped forward and made some comments about we need to control guns.
I don't need to wait another minute, let alone an hour, to take common sense steps that will save the lives in the future and to urge my colleagues in the House and Senate to act. We can ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in this country once again. I got that done when I was a senator. It passed. It was law for the longest time. And it brought down these mass killings. We should do it again. We can close the loopholes in our background check system, including the Charleston loophole. That's one of the best tools we have right now to prevent gun violence. The Senate should immediately pass. Let me say it again. The United States Senate, I hope some are listening, should immediately pass the two House-passed bills that close loopholes in the background check system.
Well, they have those laws on the book, but you got to follow them. The gunman in the Boulder, Colorado shooting had been found guilty in 2018 of assaulting a fellow student. In other words, that's a felony. He should not have been able to buy the gun if that had been properly put on the record and it was checked. So I don't know where the mistake was made there, but the law was there. It wasn't followed. Biden talking about the assault weapons ban they had. Yes, it was from September 13, 1994 until September 13, 2004 when the sunset provision put an end to it. And there have been efforts numerous times to reintroduce it. And there is no clear word to say that assault weapons are the issue because they're used in less than 1% of these shootings. They're basically semi-automatic rifles. It might have a detachable magazine, a telescoping stock, a pistol grip, And at that time, if it had a bayonet mount or a grenade launcher, it was illegal. Well, yeah, I don't think you need those. But again, Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican, says it's just another effort by Democrats to grab guns.
I think the focus ought to be on identifying people in advance who have the capacity and the interest in carrying out these atrocious attacks.
See, that's where a lot of it would start. This guy in the shooting the other day, one, is a convicted felon. He should not have been able to purchase the weapon, be it 3-day or 10-day or 30-day waiting period. Secondly, he obviously had some mental issues. Members and families and relatives and others have said, yeah, he could be fine, and then he'd suddenly flash, just kind of go over the edge in a hurry. If that guy buys a gun, you should be reporting it. You should put a stop to it. But the left wants to, again, politicize the shooting, not dealing with the facts, just politicize the shooting. Biden.
We can close the loopholes in our background check system, including the Charleston loophole. That's one of the best tools we have right now to prevent gun violence. The Senate should immediately pass. Let me say it again. The United States Senate, I hope some are listening, should immediately pass the two House-passed bills that close loopholes in the background check system.
I wanted you to hear that again because even though he's talking about the Senate should move forward, he's talking about the House bills that they passed called the guns that would basically reinstate some waiting periods, things of that nature, as they say, close the loopholes. If you're not following the laws you've got, it doesn't make a difference what laws you end up with at all. But the bigger and greater concern now is, I'll repeat again, the bigger and greater concern now is, according to the White House spokeswoman, in dealing with gun control in response to recent mass shootings, we had this one, we had the one in Atlanta. Saski said, we on the Biden staff and Democrats are considering a range of levers, including working through legislation. That's one thing you heard Biden refer to. And then including, her words, including executive actions. So that says Biden will just pick up a pen, write an executive order, says all assault weapons are to be confiscated. Maybe say all assault weapons are to be turned in. You'll get some money back, but it's a mandatory that you turn it in. And if you don't, you're in violation of a presidential order. We will come after you and take it anyway and put you in jail. That's where they're going. You think they won't challenge your Second Amendment? They don't care about your Second Amendment rights. They're after what they want. Take the guns out of everyone that might be responsible. Regardless, we have more guns in this nation than we do people. If irresponsible gun owners, if they as a mass, just those, and majority of them that have the guns are probably, quote, conservative, but you got a lot of liberals who are also buying guns because they realize, hey, I do need some protection. And you certainly have the Hollywood elite. They have their security guard. Do you see them travel anywhere without a security guard? Of course not. Do you think they're not armed? Of course they are. But you don't get that protection. You don't deserve it. And they would consider an executive order to mandate a gun buyback on certain weapons. I had a listener that's been a very loyal listener. In fact, she got several of her friends listening. They have a book club and they listen on a regular basis. She sent me an email regarding the gun buyback issue and a poll of the women in her club as to what they think about having weapons. These women are 60 plus. Now, I will share that email with you before we wrap up today. But Senator Cruz said it earlier. You heard him say that every time we have something like this, there's a rush, the narrative, take the guns away from law-abiding citizens. Well, if we don't have guns in the hands of anyone, Larry, well, then if you suddenly have a mental lapse, you get drunk, then you won't have a gun to use on someone. Well, that would be true. That would be true. But I will tell you, if we don't have anyone with cars, if you suddenly have a mental issue or you suddenly get drunk, you can't drive that car into a bunch of kids at a playground. So let's take away all the cars. The car didn't do it. It was a driver. The gun doesn't do it. It's the person carrying it. And Senator Cruz says the left continues its lies.
Senator from Connecticut just said the folks on the other side of the aisle have no solutions. Well, the senator from Connecticut knows that is false. And he knows that's false because Senator Grassley and I together introduced legislation, Grassley-Cruz, targeted at violent criminals, targeted at felons, targeted at fugitives, targeted at those with serious mental disease, to stop them from getting firearms, to put them in prison when they try to illegally buy guns.
Yes, that's exactly right. And the general counsel for the National Shooting Sports Foundation wrote a piece titled, Democrats to Push Extremist Gun Control Bills Without Even a Debate. They don't want a debate. Just do what we say. And with inside that narrative is the fact that it's those guys who are irresponsible and dangerous. And by those guys, they're talking about, in particular, whites, in particular, white males, and Trump supporters, conservatives. And they're very quick to try to use that when it comes to any mass shooting, say, it's going to be a white guy that's crazy and there's a Trump supporter linked to the KKK or something. They want to do that. They did it with the Atlanta case. They tried to do it, and they've done it with the Boulder, Colorado case. I want you to hear from VP Harris on that point, on politicizing, when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It is time for Congress to act and stop with the false choices. This is not about getting rid of the Second Amendment. It's simply about saying we need reasonable gun safety laws. And this is going to be about your viewers and all of us pleading pleading to the hearts and minds of the people in the United States Senate to say enough with the partisanship.
Enough with the partisanship. VP Kamala Harris, when it comes to gun control, we don't want partisanship. Baloney, that's what you play every time. I want to add one point real quick regarding Kamala. As I told you in using commentary, Biden has now tasked the VP with overseeing all the efforts with Central American countries trying to stop the flow of illegals to our border. I'd mentioned that earlier. I'm thinking this is just Biden's way to get out from under the crisis. They don't call it a crisis. But says it's all in Kamala's hands. The very woman who, when asked the other day by reporters, when are you going to the border? And she kind of laughed, not today, like it's a big joke. Now she's in charge of it. And that's the same one you were just hearing, that it's not politics on the Democrat side. We're just doing what is right, getting control of things. You want to talk about politics? Her own niece quickly tweeted out after the Boulder shooting the other day. She said the Atlanta shooting was not even a week ago. Violent white men are the greatest terrorist threat to our country. Well, it turned out it wasn't a white man. It's a 21-year-old by the name of Amin al-Alawi Alisa, born in Syria. Has lived in the U.S. most of his life. He's the one who carried out the shooting in Boulder, Colorado. She didn't wait for the facts because the facts might interfere with their storyline. And Congresswoman Omar, Democrat of Minnesota, had also claimed there are always different narratives used with mass shooters based on their race or ethnicity. And she said, since we saw a picture of the guy, well, then obviously it's a white guy because that's somebody that's, you know, they're going to go ahead and point out it's a white guy and yet try to get around it. But she said the shooter's race or ethnicity seems front and center when they aren't white. Otherwise, it's just a mentally ill young man having a bad day. Well, she got some backlash over that, and obviously she should. He's from Syria, originally a Syrian, born in Syria, but lived in the U.S. most of his life. But again, the idea is all white people, as supporters of Trump in particular, would be to blame. They're not waiting on the facts. They don't care about the facts. So when I hear Harris say we need to quit politics. This is something we should all get behind, such as take your gun away from you. It's not about Second Amendment rights. It is about Second Amendment rights anytime you start dealing with gun control. If you have the rules we already have in place followed, in most cases it would not have been someone to have that gun. The criminal element is not going to follow your rules anyway. And someone who has a gun, most of I know, in fact, I know many, as I'm sure you do, would use it only in defense. Never have any intention of using it in any other fashion or hunting, defense or shooting, or hunting. That's it. But they want the political narrative to be that every person with a gun is dangerous. If there had been someone in the Boulder, Colorado store the other day that was carrying, they might have been able to stop it before the killer took out 10, including a police officer, the one who did arrive with a gun. They might not have. You can never know for sure. But, of course, what they also want to do on the left is always blame the white. They jumped immediately on the Asian massage parlors in Georgia, claiming, obviously, it's racist. He's got something against Asians. And they start pushing Asian hate stories all over again. And it had nothing to do with that. He admitted to roommates and others, and he'd been in a halfway house several times. He shouldn't have had a weapon to begin with. He admitted he was addicted to sex and he felt bad about it later, so he went back to punish the people that helped him carry out his addiction. Had nothing to do with race. This shooting yesterday had nothing to do with race when it came to the shooter. I've got a guest coming up. I want you to hear. It's hard to get him booked, and I'm glad we got him for today. Frank Gaffney Jr. He is the founder of Center for Security Policy. He wrote a piece that says basically just the facts reference the shooting when it comes to blaming white Americans in mass shootings. Frank will join us after this commercial break. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I'm sure many of you have seen in your younger days or seen on replays Joe Friday in Dragnet, and he often says, just the facts, ma'am. Well, he doesn't actually say that. He uses a phraseology similar to that, but just the facts, ma'am, is something we've kind of adopted and we repeat often. But it's also very good when it comes to these recent shootings. And joining us now is Frank Gaffney Jr., the founder of the Center for Security Policy. Frank, glad to have you on board, sir.
Thank you, Larry. This is nice to know that you're of an age where you remember where that came from.
Yeah. Right from Joe Friday. But I liked when you put it in your title because you said, just the facts, ma'am, reference Boulder. And I've been pushing on that issue for the last 2 segments. The facts are not being dealt with by the left, are they?
Well, they're trying hard to deflect attention from them, as is typical of these guys, I'm afraid. They are insisting that there's white racism going on here, white supremacism, whatever you want to call it, that the inconvenient fact that the shooter wasn't white and seems to have had jihadist tendencies is being studiously ignored, it seems, if not actively suppressed.
Right.
And, you know, we're watching the basic point of the whole exercise being less about the event and the truth of it, the facts, man, if you will, than about the need to take guns away from, you know, law-abiding citizens who have a constitutional right to have them.
Well, I read an excerpt from Kamala Harris a moment ago, VP, saying this is not about taking your guns away. This is about protecting the American public. This should not be a partisan issue. And yet every time we have such a tragedy, sadly to say, before the bodies are even taken to the morgue, you got the left demanding more gun control.
You do. It is a bipartisan issue in a sense, because there is what Mao Zedong used to describe as the controlled opposition that is on board with this idea that we got to take the guns away, or certainly
right.
at least doesn't want to be seen as in opposition to that idea when bad things like these episodes happen. And so, you know, Kamala Harris may well want you to think of this as a public health issue. And it seems as though what that's teeing up is a new pretext for a carve-out, as they call it on Capitol Hill, of the filibuster rule.
Right.
You know, there's the civil rights cutout and carve-out, and that's what's going to be used to justify this really infamous piece of legislation. Some have called it the Corrupt Politicians Act. It's H.R. 1.
Right, and SB 1.
Voting rights.
Yep, and SB 1.
S1, right. And then now there's apparently going to be another carve out for public health issues, and guns will be considered to be, you know, under that rubric.
Well, they're going an extra step, Frank.
Majority votes to take them away.
They're going an extra step, and I pointed this out to the audience also. This came out of the White House. I know you've been very busy today. I don't know if you've had a chance to catch it. But the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said that we are considering, reference what to do about these shootings, a range of levers, including working through legislation, and then including executive action. In other words, suggesting Joe Biden might just by stroke of a pen wipe out your ability to have any weapon they say you shouldn't have and make it a mandatory buyback. You turn it in. If you don't, then we're going to come get it, and you're in violation of a federal law. They're talking about executive action if they don't get what they want.
You know, you might not be in violation of a federal law, but it may be enforced as though it is the law. And I think that's a distinct possibility. And, you know, Larry, what I have come to believe is afoot here is that the obvious unfitness of Joe Biden for the office he holds has to be ignored, and his role there, his place in the presidency has to be preserved for a while longer, at least, because if Kamala Harris were the face of what they're doing to America instead of benign old Joe Biden,
right.
Uncle Joe, you know, I think an awful lot of this would be finding much, much more resistance politically.
More incendiary, obviously, yeah. I can see that happening.
Seen for what it is.
Yeah. Well, to that extent, they play it. I mean, Kamala Harris's niece, when she's saying we shouldn't be, this is not a partisan issue, her own niece was quickly tweeting out after the Boulder shooting yesterday that it was basically, once again, a white man goes on a shooting spree, and her statement again is that it's the white men and that kind of stuff, white supremacists. She had to walk it back when they found out it wasn't. And remember the Savannah case, the Georgia case, the Asian massage parlors, they wanted to quickly say it had to be anti-Asian when it had nothing to do with race.
Right. Well, these again are inconvenient facts. If you can get the narrative going so that people ignore them and focus instead on what the left is trying to deflect us to or project onto the public discourse, they can get away with, well, murder, I guess is a word for it, but it's certainly revolutionary transformation of our country.
That's what they want, isn't it? That's exactly what they want.
And they actually make very few secrets about it.
Yeah.
It's just that for the moment, they want you to think that it's just old Joe who is just trying to do these things either through legislation or, through executive order. And I think very few of us really, Larry and present company accepted, of course, are seriously taking stock of just how transformative and revolutionary, for that matter, many of these actions are.
You're listening to Frank Gaffney, Jr., founder, executive chairman of the Center for Security Policy in D.C. And the issue you're raising, today Biden did say that he was going to appoint the VP to oversee the efforts with Central America to stop the immigration flow from coming from Central America. In other words, kind of washing his hands of it and letting her deal, quote, the crisis, which they won't admit. And I hear you saying, and I think you're right, that they can't actually have Biden out of position at this point, because you're right, if Kamala looks like she's the one pulling all this action, it might not go well at all.
Right. I think they're on the horns of a dilemma, though, and it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow night, I guess, when this press conference is held, if it is held. But, having somebody who can speak intelligibly to the American people about this disaster that they have created in our southern border and sort of south and north of it is needed, and Biden simply can't do that. So I guess they're going to fob that off onto her, as well as you know, Larry, they have now insisted that this be called the Biden-Harris administration.
Right.
Well, for that matter, Joe Biden has called her the president
several times.
So this is getting us, accustomed to the idea that there really is somebody else in charge. But I do think that she's going to be a lot more frightening to people when they get her measure.
And I had told folks in the beginning, if I'm having an over-under bet placing money, I would say he won't make a full year. And I think that she's already signed off on the 25th Amendment because they need her signature if they use that to remove him and he won't go. So she signed that the day of the inauguration, say, pull the tab out and use it when you need it.
Yeah.
To that point,
he's also made the observation, I think, that as he did when it seemed as though he might be at odds with Obama. He said, I'll just announce that I've got an illness and I have to resign. And I think he's indicated that's in the cards.
Yes.
I can't see them going the full 25th Amendment route, but I don't think he'll.
Now, tell me this very quickly in the closing minute, since you raise this news conference tomorrow, supposedly if it's a legitimate news conference, reporters won't have to have their questions submitted in advance, and they'll be called on regardless of who they represent. And we'll see if some legitimate hardball questions get thrown at him and how he handles them. But then again, I don't have a lot of faith it's going to be carried out that way. Your thought?
I'd be very surprised. Nothing they've done so far has suggested that they're going to conduct it that way. And it is stunning, and I hope the American people are thinking about this a bit, how different Donald Trump was treated by the media, and were he being handled in this way, or them being staved off from asking him questions in this way, there would be hell to pay.
That's absolutely true. Frank, thank you very much for your time today. We always appreciate it.
Pleasure.
I know it's very difficult to get you, but I thank you for joining us, sir.
Always happy to do it.
You bet. Frank Gaffney, founder, executive director of the Center for Security Policy. I had mentioned earlier that I had an email from a listener and a book club she belongs to, all women, 60 plus, and their thoughts about the gun violence of today and carrying a weapon and gun buyback programs. I want to share that with you when we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
One of my loyal listeners, Diane, sends emails from time to time, and she says she got her entire book club listening to the program live if they're holding their book club session, and then they talk about their books, or at least they're listening on podcasts, so I certainly appreciate it. And in fact, she said in a recent email I just got, she said, all in our group are senior women, all but one is a grandmother, and in our discussion, six got guns in the past year because of safety concerns. Here's what she said. All the ladies agree it's not the gun, it's the person that holds the gun that is the problem. And one of the group asked the question to us, who owns a gun? We all smiled. Out of 12 ladies, all but one has their concealed carry weapon, took a safety course, goes to the gun range on a regular basis to practice gun safety. When asked why they have a gun, all said for protection. And five, she said, have been gun owners for over 20 years. That's good. That's good that these women realize you can have a gun in the house if it's properly cared for and you know what you're doing with it. You might need it someday for yourself or to help someone else. They were discussing also gun buybacks, which they're looking at. They're seeing some of these begin to develop. In particular, they're pointing out that Decatur, Illinois, is hosting one on April the 4th. It's sponsored by the Howard Buffett Foundation. And Chicago, Illinois, has one scheduled, Evanston, Indiana, Pensacola, Florida, L.A., California, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Ohio, and she said the list goes on and on. All the Howard Buffett Foundation coming out with these gun buybacks. Now, gun buybacks normally are, if you bring a gun in and turn it in, no questions asked, we'll pay you cash, depending on the weapon and so forth of that nature. If it's, even if it's inoperable, they're going to give you money. Now, we've had these programs before involving tax dollars, and that's absolutely a stupid idea, to use tax dollars to buy back weapons like this. And the question she raised is legitimate. How many are maybe turned in since no ID is required? The easy way to dispose of a firearm used in a crime certainly could be, or just one that was stolen. You turn it in, and then they realize it's stolen. Well, you brought it in. Nope, you don't have to give any ID. You just turn it in, you get your money. The gangsters love it. The gangsters love it because they got a lot of guns they don't like anymore, and they want the money for something else, like, well, let me see, drugs? Well, sure, I'll turn it in, especially if one doesn't work. She recognizes, as most of us should, that these gun buyback programs are stupid all the way around, but especially if it's your tax dollars. Here we have the Howard Buffett Foundation spending its money. So be it, if that's what you want to spend your money on. But she said, rest assured, this group will not be selling their guns for a fraction of what they cost new. These women carry, they are responsible, all agree when they feel like they can no longer safely carry and use a gun, it will be passed down to a family member legally. Well, Diane, to that point, if the rules are rewritten as the Democrats want, you cannot just give it to a family member because you would be illegal because you would have to have them undergo a federal ID check before you could give your own gun to a daughter, a son, grandson, so forth. You can't just do that anymore if the Democrats get their way. She also added, because I pointed out some other issues that she raised, certainly about the gun buying. I certainly agree with her that's stupid. I did say that we might have had someone in the Boulder, Colorado situation the other day, if they'd had a weapon, they might have stopped the shooter before 10 were killed, including the police officer. But, of course, when have something like that happens, you call for someone who has guns and training, and the officer showed up, and he was gunned down as well. So we can't say for sure, but we'll never know, will we? And I did say, if you're going to have it, Diane, you've got to make sure you're willing to use it, because the last thing you want is you will have someone take it away from you. And she added in a response, you are spot on, Larry. Yes, the ladies feel comfortable if the need arises and no law enforcement is around. No one should even interfere during a crime when law enforcement is available. Diane, you and your ladies, you're doing a great job, and I'm glad to hear it. I mean, first of all, I appreciate you listening, sharing your thoughts, but I'm glad to hear that from the public and the attitude that we recognize it's not the gun, it's how it's used. And gun buybacks generally don't accomplish what the left thinks it does. I mean, the left is operating with a totally warped mentality when it comes to think, oh, we'll just buy all the guns off the street. You don't have enough money, even in the Buffett Foundation, to buy all the guns off the street. Just stick that in your pipe and smoke it. You don't have it. You'll never get every gun. And by the way, gun owners, I should say gun shops, are suddenly having booming businesses. The gun industry is making more. Last year, record number asking for federal ID qualifications and background checks, record number. We have a lot of laws already there. And if they're properly followed, the gun should not get in the hands of someone who shouldn't have it. The Colorado shooter, according to a relative, he's in the house playing around with it, waving it around. Well, they should have, and they did take it away from him, but then they apparently let him get it again. They should have taken it to the police, said, this guy does not need this gun. But they didn't do it. So sometimes it comes down to family members and others to help protect the rest of us. Just take the gun away from people like that. There's, unfortunately, the tragedy is a prime issue. Let's don't forget the deaths. Thank you, as always, for joining. We appreciate it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.